The weekend is near and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
Round 21 started in the snow and finished in beautiful Perth sunshine. And in between all that were several genuine beltings that could have finals ramifications. We'll dissect all of the aforementioned, as well as speak to triple premiership forward Cameron Mooney on a big edition of the Fox Footy podcast. Ben Waterworth with you, as is Max Stupid Sexy Clarko Lawton. Hello, Maxie.
Is that my first news.com.au headline?
It could be. I did see that. It was quite an achievement.
Triple wafer, of course, creating the fantastic art of Clarko, like Ned Flanders, hanging out in the snow. What a Simpsons reference in footy always goes well. There's a reason that Facebook page is quite popular.
Our digital video team always thrives on that as well. And also joining us is Josh Dunkley hater Tom Morris. Hello,
Thomas. I apologise to all Western Bulldogs supporters. I wanted to have Josh Dunkley in my 22 under 22 AFLPA team. And for whatever reason, as sometimes happens when you rush selection, it was an oversight. He should absolutely be in the team. Should be starting in the midfield. And I said that, and I still copped it from the Dog supporters online.
That's because you're a fraud, Tom. You're a lying fraud.
And a leech.
Yes, of course.
I would also like to say, Max, when I read Stupid Sexy Clarko, I actually thought of you dressed in Lycra in the snow.
Hang on. Take a step back.
Yeah.
You can't say that, can you?
Well, why not?
It's good to know. I think that's reaffirming in some way, to be honest.
It just made me think of it. I don't know why. We asked for transparency in the podcast, and I'm giving you that.
That's about as transparent as it gets.
Once. I went to Mount Baw Baw when I was 10.
Yeah?
That's about it.
How'd you go?
I think I stayed inside most of the time.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me.
No, that's me.
It's quite cold.
Yes.
What's genuinely unbelievable sights we saw, though, a genuinely unbelievable sight in Tom's head, obviously with Max in Lycra, but on Friday night in Canberra, as predicted on the Fox Footy podcast about potential snow last week, that it wasn't quite snow, but it was kind of snowflakes and just snow-like conditions. It was quite incredible to see at quarter time.
Almost disappointed because I was on Twitter and I was like, oh, everyone's reacting. Oh, there's snow. I better tune in. I guess I can see it. It might also just be a bad picture. But at the same time, the way it sort of everyone just got so excited and thrilled at the ground watching on TV. It was pretty cool to just see that emotion just for some weather.
There's nothing more G-rated in terms of humour than weather, isn't it? It's proper, clean, this is great, look at the weather sort of humour.
Oh.
And it was so bad it was laughable. That's why Hawthorn players were laughing. They had the blankets that were heated on their laps. They had hot water. GWS seemed to hate it.
That slow motion footage of Jeremy Cameron genuinely shivering while his opponent was laughing in the background kind of summed up the night, really.
Can I give an unpopular opinion about Clarko?
Yes.
I think he's a genius coach, but I think we make too much of his genius, and I think it's a simple storyline to say when Hawthorn win, it's because of Clarko, and when they lose, it's because of the players.
Yep, okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I understand that, but do you think, though, that speaking of Stupid Sexy Clarko, when he ran around topless in Canberra, you don't think that played a huge role in lightening the mood amongst the players and setting the tone for their attitude on Friday night?
I think it would have played a minor role.
Minor role.
Yeah. Along with everything else that went on behind closed doors. I think if Clarko didn't run around the oval without a shirt on, they still would have had exactly the same scoreline and would have won exactly the same. But what it did, what that sort of stuff does do, it allows you to appreciate and relax within the conditions that you're in. Sometimes it's so bad it's good. And that's exactly what it was, and that's how the Hawthorn played. They just went hard at the ball, and they played great footy. But I do get a little bit over the Clark is a genius, that's why Hawthorn are winning. They've also lost how many games this year, Max?
10.
So he's not a genius in those games. I think it's a simple storyline. Yes, he's a gun, but there's more to it than that.
It's also the fact that he didn't run around the MCG shirtless when they beat GWS there earlier this year.
Yes,
they went in two different ways, which was disgusting on the couch last night. They played a kick mark game against the Giants earlier on in the season. On Friday night, they actually played almost un-Hawthorn-like in that they smashed the Giants in contested ball and clearances. Hawthorn aren't a strong contested ball
side. Well, my intel is the Giants spent all week preparing for a kick mark game.
Yeah.
And then, who said that last night? Did someone say that last night?
The guys on the couch. Gary Lyon was big on it last night.
And then they get to the game and it's snowing. And clearly, a kick mark game's not going to go down well. It's going to be a jack in the pack style of game.
So they didn't adjust.
And they just didn't adjust. What are the Giants doing? Who are they? I know they've got injuries, and what do they stand for? It's really disappointing to see a team with so much talent, and I know that they've got injuries, but with so much talent over the last 4 or 5 years, really not give a yelp aside from one prelim final against the Bulldogs?
Taking it more broadly, it's not about the talent when they have their players in. They still play a style that isn't the style of footy that wins flags right now.
That's right.
They still try and play stoppage footy rather than turnovers.
How can they be so good against Collingwood in the first quarter, and then when it really gets tough against Hawthorn, who are putting their bodies over the ball and have a lot of young players themselves and have a lot of injuries, Tom Mitchell being the main one, get absolutely pulverised from the start of the game?
Hawthorn must be the best cold weather team in footy, by the way, because they play in Tassie and at the MCG.
Yep.
So that's probably the best combo you can have in that regard.
Just on the Giants as well. So you mentioned that game against Collingwood, where it was almost an outlier first quarter. But since, sort of since round 15, really, they lost to Essendon, they lost to the Lions, they lost to Richmond. They had that game against Collingwood, it was an outlier first quarter. It was actually pretty even sort of after that. Lost to Port Adelaide, only just beat the Swans and lost to Hawthorn. So I'm with you, Tom. Like, where is this team at, and what do they stand for? And it makes me wonder, are they now outside the premiership window?
They're in a really tough spot. They might have lost two flags because of injuries when you look at it. 2016 is the obvious one, and then this year they have had a lot, and you would think that they would be probably winning one or two more games without the injuries they've had this year.
I know some of the injuries are contact injuries, but if you have so many injuries every single year, at what point do we start questioning the medical department? I always find it very...
Which is a very taboo kind of area.
It's taboo because we're not doctors and we don't understand the medical side of the business at all.
And doctors get sort of arc up when you question them as well.
But if the sample size is 4 years and they've had lots of injuries over the course of 4 years, I'd love to see the GWS injuries compared to other clubs' injuries over all these years and see how it stacks up.
Well, health is a skill. In a point, you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
If you are injury prone and you recruit players that are injury prone, that can happen.
Watch Stephen Canelio. I went back and watched the warm-up of the GWS versus Richmond game.
Nice, yes.
And Canelio had his
fun night.
Yeah, had his knee heavily strapped before that game because of what happened the week before against Brisbane.
Yes. Yep.
And he was limping around in the warm-up. He actually didn't look 100% in the warm-up at all. So then part of me thinks, who's it up to us to question why he played that game?
Particularly when Wayne Campbell and the Giants come out and say
But of course they're going to say that. The other half of me thinks, look at him in the warm-up. Why is he playing the game? Why is he not a late withdrawal? That's just one example.
Speaking of Wayne Campbell, you reported last night on foxfootyyes.com.au and on the couch that he's unlikely to beat the Giants in 2020 despite being contracted for 2020. Yep.
Yeah, there's a feeling at the Giants that they need to make a change at the head of football position, and Wayne Campbell's the footy boss. He's got a strained relationship with many key stakeholders, not just some key players and some staff members, but also player managers as well. And when you have that many strained relationships, in the end, it might come back to bite you. And that appears to be what's going to happen here at the Giants.
Is that something that could really impact recruiting if you're not getting on well with player agents?
Absolutely, yeah. It doesn't mean you've got to bow down to player agents all the time, but there has to be a strong, healthy bond. And a number of managers I've spoken to over the course of the year feel like Wayne Campbell specifically is hard to deal with. Now, I don't know Wayne Campbell personally, so let's talk from a purely professional perspective. In his role, it's important that he has a strong, working, robust relationship with people externally as well as people internally.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that is the case anymore.
Right. Okay. We'll keep our eyes on that one, Thomas. But, well, good story from you.
For what it's worth, GWS did beat Port that game, I believe.
Yes, they did too.
Just a correction segment.
Yes, and yes. Just. Only by the
not exactly convincing.
No, that's
stupid,
right.
Sexy Max.
on the Hawks as well. So press conference earlier on Tuesday about Jared Roughead. So he will get his farewell game, but at the same time, it is officially confirmed. Almost, I think, what we're all thinking, the inevitable, that he's going to retire at season's end. He still is kind of weighing up what he wants to do next year, which he revealed today, and what that kind of looks like. But I'm glad he gets his farewell game against the Gold Coast Suns. And Clarko mentioned, interestingly, and I hadn't thought of this, that it's almost appropriate against the Suns because Mark Evans and Stuart Jew will be there, who have played such a big role in this player's life.
Yeah, I like a farewell game, so long as it's not going to impact the team winning. People are talking about Roughead playing as... Some people are talking about Roughead playing as...
As if I was playing.
Yeah, as like a... Well, it's 21 versus 22 then.
Yeah.
Roughhead's still going to be fine.
He might
not kick five or six, but he
got named 6 weeks ago in Sydney.
Yeah, it's one out of 22. And as we know in footy, one out of 22 has a very minimal impact on the game, unless you're Buddy Franklin or Patrick Cripps.
Yeah, I think it's a fair enough call, and particularly as it's their last Melbourne game, it makes a lot of sense. The interesting thing in that presser for me was Clarko saying, it might not be his last game, maybe we'll pick him against West Coast in round 23.
Clarko thing.
Yeah, but
come on,
if he kicks five, what do you do?
Yep.
If he's in your best 18 all of a sudden, what do you do?
And you're still in the finals race, which they could be if they win.
Yeah, and they play West Coast in round 23. Yes. Which is a huge game.
You're just picking the best 22, aren't you? I'm glad, you know, Hawthorn is a good club. That's not a news-breaking statement, but they are a good club. They've decided on Monday, or Roughheads decided on Monday of the weekend, the club decided they wanted to play him, and then it's a week of celebrating Ruffy. I think there would have been other clubs that delayed this decision until selection on Thursday, yeah. And it would have been an easy willy or won'ty call, and that's the wrong way to go about it.
They did have the strange handling of the Ben Stratton situation earlier this year, admittedly. They're not perfect.
No, they're not perfect. Yeah, that was an ordinary... Well, isn't that because... Jeff Kennett went rogue.
Well, that, but also even Clarko coming on 360 on Monday night and sort of going against what the club had said.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting all the specifics, but...
I remember that with the pinching. But
yeah.
If there's going to be two people that go rogue in the AFL industry, it's probably Clarko and Kennett, which is equally why they're probably such a strong club, because they've got left field ideas and strong ideas about how to be a good football department. Justin Reeve said one thing. He's the club.
Yes.
And Kennett said another thing. And Alistair Clarkson said another thing. Yes. It was bizarre. You're right.
Yes.
They're not perfect.
Just on Jared Ruffhead. So he's been playing the VFL the last couple of weeks. Hawthorn didn't play with any long sleeves on Friday night. Jared Ruffhead was running around in the VFL on Saturday in the long sleeves. It was suggested last night that was a statement to Alistair Clarkson saying, yeah, you might have this policy in, but I'm going to do my own thing and wear long sleeves.
I mean, it was probably just, he was maybe cold. I don't know.
Maybe. It was a cold day.
It was only until three-quarter time, though, I think. I think he took them off at the three-quarter time.
He switched.
Is what I was told.
Is that when Clarko walked into the ground?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Get those off.
Wearing a...
Shave those sideburns.
The fascination over the snow and long sleeves on Friday night was disproportionate to the game itself.
What's wrong with sleeves? I love sleeves. Sleeves are great.
I mean, I grew up watching Jeff Farmer, the Wizard, in long sleeves.
Did you see him on social media on the weekend?
I loved
Jeff Farmer. Yeah. It really hurt me when he kicked that goal either on or after the siren for Freo against Melbourne. That really hurt.
Real dagger. That would have been still ruining it.
Because he wore number 33, then he wore number 8 for Melbourne, then back to 33, and I rated that.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Let's have a look at specifically at the run home. We'll talk to Moons in a bit about sort of the top four games, but the top four race is going to be fascinating over the next fortnight, Maxi. They finally play each other. We've sort of been bereft of top four action playing against each other, getting a real good indication of where teams genuinely sit. But we get that this weekend, and it sets up an interesting ladder come the end of the season.
Yeah, I think Brisbane in particular is the test that we want to see, because they've won 7 or 8 in a row, but they've played one team in the top six since mid-April, which was the win over GWS.
Yep.
And before that, it was the Collingwood game around Easter, around Anzac Day. So really interesting to see what they're going to do against Geelong in a game where suddenly Geelong looks like a bit of a threat. And it's really important too, because Richmond, as we've said for a while now, is going to decide this season by its games against West Coast and Brisbane. If it wins them both, it can still make top two. But maybe the Tigers don't want to, because Geelong now looks pretty likely to finish on top. I think if they beat Carlton, they probably still do.
Mm. Yep.
So don't Richmond want to finish fourth then and get an MCG home final just by finishing fourth?
Yeah.
It's intriguing. I must admit, Max, I like your run home for the back half of the season, but I only really love it for the last fortnight of the season, because you can actually, the live ladder flickers up and down.
It's a bit more tangible, I think, in the last two weeks.
Well, if they do this and they do that, then this is what happens. It's only a two-step process, and I agree with you. I mean, Richmond's not going to lose on purpose, but they might like to play Geelong at the MCG in week one of finals.
Particularly because they play on the Sunday of round 23. So they'll go into that Brisbane game having had West Coast and Geelong play their games in round 23 the day before. They'll know exactly what they need. And they could be in a situation where if they lose, they get caught by Collingwood, because Collingwood could still catch them. They're only a game back and percentage is about the same.
Mm. Collingwood's a bizarre
case study at the moment.
No,
but they are close.
All.
And they can beat Adelaide and Essendon, because I don't trust Adelaide and Essendon either.
No, I don't trust either of them. Collingwood need Jaden Stevenson and Dugowie back desperately. That forward half class.
Yeah, I didn't mind. So I was at the game on Saturday, and I actually didn't mind how they looked up forward. I think Mychek was so good.
He's very good.
His game was really underrated, because the delivery, particularly in the first half to him, was appalling. Mm. Some of the...
But didn't you think the Pies were quite scrappy? First and fourth quarters.
But when Mychek was involved, he was very, very good. But you're right about the Pies. If it wasn't for the class of side bottom and Pendlebury, that could have gone anyway.
No, I agree with you. Side bottom being allowed to run around free was the most ridiculous thing I've seen. I know that wingers can be freewheeling, but side bottom did what he wanted all day, and Melbourne did nothing
to
stop
him. And Max Gawn tagged Brody Grundy.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, there's a tag and there's a tag. Max Gawn's trying to stop Brody Grundy, and that's fine. But Max Gawn had one mark and Grundy had two. So I know it's a slightly wet day, but it's not like It had a massive impact on the game, didn't it?
But isn't it about mindset, though? If Max Gorn was just wanting to play his own game rather than having to worry about Brody Grundy, could that have helped the Dees?
Well, it's about mindset, but that's secondary to actually the execution of the skill. Mm. So you can be thinking one thing, but it's what actually happens on the field. And you look at the numbers, and I watched the game. I thought Grundy was maybe slightly better than Gorn, maybe 55-45, but I think the game was about more than that. I think Max Gorn's article in the Herald Sun probably made that more of an issue than what it was, and probably a few comments that followed it saying, why is Max Gorn tagging? Mm. Yeah, you could argue that the back pocket is tagging the forward pocket as well every game.
So of the Giants and the Pies, are the Giants still a chance for top four? Or is that lost to Hawthorn?
They could, because Richmond can lose both of its games to Brisbane and West Coast, and the Giants play the Dogs and the Suns. So the Dogs is a really tough game now, even at home at Giant Stadium. But if they go 2-0 and the Tigers go 0-2, they would pass them, and then it would be about whether they get ahead of Collingwood. So they're in it, but realistically, you'd think that Richmond is good enough to win at least one of those home games at the G and then rule out the Giants. So they're going to have an elimination final, and it's a tough spot to be, particularly in the semi-finals when you're going to have to travel to beat someone who's really wanting to win.
What about the bottom half of the ladder, particularly now that with Essendon's big loss, it feels like it's not just one spot up for grabs. It's actually 7th and 8th are both up for grabs now.
It is, especially if Essendon doesn't win another game.
Essendon losing the last four to not make finals is an almighty choke, given that Port Adelaide is very beatable at Marvel, that the Western Bulldogs should be very beatable at Marvel based on ladder position, and should be beatable if you're going to be a finals team. And who are the other two that they're playing in this? Who are the next two they've got?
They've got Fremantle and Collingwood in the next two games.
And you'd say that they probably go in as underdogs for the last two, but they're not also Richmond or West Coast type games.
You could beat Freo over there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they might not be underdogs then. Losing the last four is a death knell for John Worsfold. It has to be.
Right.
If they don't play finals, they don't deserve. John Worsfold doesn't deserve to be there next year.
But you know what? If they play finals, it's like, do they deserve to be there anyway? They only need to win one of their next two games.
They'll get in.
And they get in. But how they played against the Dogs, do they actually deserve to be there?
No. Well, I think we're all...
But lots of these teams don't deserve to be there based on one performance.
Yeah.
The problem is we're all coming from a perspective of thinking Essendon is better than it is. Essendon is an average team at best.
Yeah.
We've seen that. They won five games in a row, but they were all so close, they were all coming from behind.
Hence why I disagree that it was just off one performance. This has been an accumulation of about 7 weeks.
Yeah, realistically, Essendon is between 7th and 12th, and it's where they are right now because they got a few close games going their way and had a few comebacks. And now that they've had a bunch of injuries, they're probably worse than the 12th best team in the comp, but they're there for now.
I don't know who I trust of these... this mid-pack of teams.
Because you can't
down
trust
to Hawthorn.
Port might be the best team, and you can't trust them based on the rest of the season.
I just like to think of who do I trust if they're all at their best, and Port is probably the team I trust if they're all at their best.
And then are the Bulldogs the second best?
I'd probably go Hawthorn then the Bulldogs in a final.
If we were doing our power rankings, where would the Bulldogs and Port Adelaide sit compared to the Giants and Collingwood at the moment? Are the Bulldogs and Port the 5th and 6th best teams in the competition at the moment?
I'd probably still have the Giants 5th because I know they're going to get a bunch of players back this week.
Yep.
So I'd have them 6th and 7th though.
6th and 7th.
Yeah.
I'll probably agree. Yeah.
They can win elimination finals depending on who they get. For sure.
Just on Essendon, so I was at the game on the weekend and inside the room. So normally I like to go to the winning rooms. You get a better interview. It's a bit more upbeat.
Chase the story.
Went to the losing rooms on the rare occasion. And full credit to Essendon and particularly Zach Merritt for being made to be available. And he was very strong afterwards. But just the feeling in the rooms was almost bizarre. There was still a little bit of an upbeat hum about it. And, you know, John Worsfold, you wouldn't, at any time, in the press conference afterwards and in the rooms afterwards, you couldn't tell that he's sort of just lost by 100 points. You could tell, though, when Xavier Campbell, Dan Richardson and Al Stewart, the media manager, were all sort of having this conversation about how do we address this, where to next. So that looked pretty gloomy as well. But Woosh's temperament just doesn't change at all. It is quite remarkable, and it's probably led to why there's been so much commentary about his lack of emotion on the coach's box over...
I think you're taking some fair or fast content here.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. I agree with you, though.
I'll hold that thought, Tom. Anything else from a run-home perspective, Max?
I think there's probably 6 or 7 teams that can still make the 8 from the bottom part. It's going to be a very interesting last 2 weeks. And there are a couple of games that are Fox exclusive, you might say.
Yes, and we'll talk to Cameron Mooney about those games a little bit later on. But right now on the Fox Footy podcast, it's time for Australia's favourite segment, Fair or Farce.
Sebastian Vettel, 5-second time penalty.
All right, I'll go to you first. Max, based on what we're just speaking about, John Worsfold is too passive on the coach's bench. Fair or farce?
Farce, because I don't know that how much of an impact that could really have on things. Yep. It could have an impact on what fans think.
What did Brendan Goddard say? Does he think it has an impact?
He said he was a little bit concerned about it.
Yeah.
But he acknowledged that is his natural go-to temperament, to not try and be too emotive.
What's happening in the late in the third quarter if Worsfold's yelling instead of being a bit more passive?
It's a question. This has been a discussion about optics rather than anything else.
Yeah. What do we want a coach to look like?
Yeah. It's the same as teams reacting after a loss. You can't see them smiling because that's ridiculous.
Only the players know whether John Worsfold is a good coach, and the assistant coaches. No, none of us can really make an informed judgment.
Yeah.
My sense is that he is a good man manager, tactically and strategically, he relies on others more. And I think that's fine as well. There's nothing wrong with that.
The most interesting comment came last night from Caroline Wilson on Footy Classified, who said people around John Worsfold, who have known him for quite some time, are a little bit surprised that he's taking a back seat in a lot of things at the moment and not being as authoritarian. And
well, Dylan Scheel spoke to the team at quarter time, didn't he? John Worsfold's an introvert, and that's just who he is. And he's won a flag and taken West Coast within a goal of another flag with that exact same method at a different time, admittedly. I wonder whether he's feeling like he wants to move on from Essendon last year. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast.
Do you think he will be there next year?
I don't know for sure, but I think there's a chance that he will decide to move on.
Right. Rather than Essendon making the...
Well, if they don't make the finals, they might have to make a call, but I don't think he's locked in for next year. One thing we can't do as footy fans, and we're all footy fans, is believe every single bit of rhetoric that goes out from the club, whether it's Freo or Essendon or GWS or St Kilda, whatever club it is. There will be moves at the end of the year. And I wonder whether Worsfold will be one of these moves. Ben, fair or fast? It's best for Adelaide and Eddie Betts if he signs a two-year deal elsewhere. Fair or fast?
Fair. I think Eddie Betts has probably lost touch, I think, at the moment. I would love to know whether he recognises that as well, if he can look at this objectively. So it was reported last night by the Advertiser, Reece Homfray, a very good man at the Advertiser, reported that the Gold Coast Suns had showed some interest in Eddie. And this, again, adds to the conversation around Gold Coast bringing in experienced players. Sean Burgoyne's been linked.
And good characters.
Good characters. I really like, it won't happen, but I really liked the addition of David Mundy to the potential Gold Coast Suns wish list. He would be perfect because he's still playing excellent, excellent football, so could have a genuine on-field role, but also bring that wisdom as well. And I think Eddie Betts could also thrive in that environment as well, from an internal playing group. And I think he's still got something left to give, but I just don't think it's at Adelaide.
Yeah, well, the next stage of this is that the Adelaide Crows want to move on several older players.
Yes, more you reported this last night.
More than any other club really does. They want to rejuvenate their list so they're younger.
Yep.
And Betts is the oldest player on their list. So he could absolutely be a part of that if a reasonable deal comes forward. And you could say, well, he could have left any year if a reasonable deal come forward. No. Adelaide are more open to this now than they were last year and far more open than they were the year before.
So do you
have to be.
Do you think the Crows... So the Crows and the Hawks are almost in a similar position. Nick Del Santo last week told us that he would probably move on about five of those Hawks that are over 30-plus. Do you think that's a similar number that the Crows are looking to?
Potentially. By the start of next year, they've got 8 30-pluses, plus Tex Walker, who will be 30 next April.
Yep.
So 9 by the midway point of next season. But I think some of them will happen, will leave organically, if you will. Mm. David McKay, Richard Douglas, to name a couple. I expect probably won't be there next year. Not definitely, but probably. Eddie Betts, there's a romantic notion to Eddie Betts staying in Adelaide for the rest of his career. There's a romantic notion to him going back to Carlton. In the end, it's a footy business. Mm. If he wants to play two or three more years elsewhere, then he needs to get out of Adelaide.
Betts feels like the only one who would be a weird choice to leave. Like the other ones you were saying, more natural moves, Douglas and players like
Josh Jenkins?
Yeah, Josh Jenkins makes some sense just because of the sort of the weird little culture around him at that club that's developed.
There's
this
a sticking point with Josh Jenkins. That's his salary. Yeah. So if he's happy to cut that salary in half or cut it by a third and go to a club where he's going to get two or three years and get senior opportunities, and that's fine. But if he's not, then he can easily just stay at the Crows and potentially finish his career in the Sandful, which is not ideal either.
If Jenkins does go, they've got a ready-made guy there in Darcy Fogarty, who was outstanding against the West
Jonathan
Coast
Brown Eagles. Reckons he's the best kick in the AFL.
He was talking about specifically about his set shot kicking last night, which blew me away. Like, I knew he was a good kick, but his set shot kicking...
Yeah.
It looks like It actually looked like Taylor Walker when he was kicking at his best.
Big, sort of big legs.
The big legs.
Big ass.
It was awesome.
Whose go is it?
It's Max's Mine. Go.
Max. Hi. Fair or fast.
You should label these so you know.
True. Speaking of romanticism in football, Jordan Lewis and Buddy should go to Ruffy's final game and chair him off the field.
Ooh.
Fair or fast?
I don't hate that, but probably fast. I don't realistically see it happening.
No.
I also don't know the logistics of when those teams play. No,
they're
not. My head.
No, they're both available.
They're both available.
I checked this out.
Oh, okay.
This comes from a caller on SEN saying that they should do this.
Yeah, right.
I think it would be lovely to see them there. I think them coming on the ground as players on opposite teams, rival teams right now, for Hawthorn would be a bit strange.
And Buddy hasn't played with Ruffy for 6 years. That's half of his
Lewis
career.
Another three.
They had a bit of a cheeky go at Buddy during the pressure, which was fun.
I enjoyed that. Ben,
yes.
We need a floating fixture for the last 2+ weeks of the season, fair or fast, to avoid a Melbourne-Sydney Friday night clash in round 22, for example.
No, I'd say it's a fast because I think if we do want to go down this path, it probably needs to be a bigger floating fixture.
Well, why not then?
Go longer.
Fair or fast, do we want a floating fixture?
No, fast. What I want is a 17-round fixture, ideally. And I know we work here at Fox and the rights are massive. But aesthetically for the fans at the moment, the perfect fixture alternative is to have a 17 to 18-round fixture. Everyone plays each other once and maybe there's an extra round in there for, you know, rivalry round or whatever it is.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen, is
it? I know.
Can't we have 17 and then a conference system for the last 5 or 6 weeks?
That's probably Max's area of expertise.
I just don't really see the point.
No.
There's some level of extra fairness there, but they already try and bring some balance in. I think in terms of the floating fixture, it's strange because we always get the reaction of people saying, oh no, we like planning trips to go see our teams play interstate. And the NFL does do a bit of a floating fixture, but they do it for one game a week. Or 2 games specifically, because they might swap
things.
But
the Premier League does it as well. And the Premier League floats throughout. So what? I know that they plan a couple of months in advance, but why can't we plan a couple of months in advance?
Is this to do with ground availability, particularly in Melbourne, where there's you know, double ups of MCG games and Marvel Stadium games?
That plays a part. I really don't see the need to change if we're going with the current system. The only time I can see the fixture changing is if we have expansion and then go to, say, 20 rounds.
Yeah, okay.
19 rounds, a bye, and maybe a rivalry round.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the answer as well, because then we're further diluting.
It's just shame, but I feel like at some point that's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if I said to you, is expansion going to happen in the next 20 years, would you say yes or no?
Yes, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you don't want to go to 19 teams.
No.
Not for the moment. Max, last one to you. Fair or fast?
Is this to me?
Oh, sorry. Is this to you now?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Sorry, mate. Fair or fast? Gary Pert is right. Melbourne is a big club.
Yes, I think that's fair.
Physically?
I wouldn't group them, though, with the big four. Richmond,
he believes
Essendon, Carlton, Collingwood.
Melbourne is a big club. He was sick of the D's being spoken about as a small club, as a punching above their weight club.
I don't see them as a small club. I don't know how many people see them as a small club as well. Like the support, the rusted on supporter base that they have has been there for a long time. And I don't think, despite all the issues and, you know, lack of success they've had for so many years, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But there's just a bad stench at the D's at the moment, isn't there? Just about everything. It is remarkable.
Stench.
Helpful. Yeah.
Well, their assistant coaching panel's changing and their fitness department's changing.
Craig Jennings is on the way out.
Yeah, so Craig Jennings is leaving. He wants to coach his own VFL team or second tier team. Brendan McCartney's leaving. They've got Josh Marnie, who's also going to be the head of footy, but he's also working as almost like a CEO of Casey Demons as well. So
it's not an ideal
dual role, and Casey's not exactly near to Amy Park.
No.
They've got a new fitness department. Darren Burgess is the high performance manager.
Yeah.
There are plenty of changes at the D's. Whether they make a difference or not remains to be seen.
Seems like more and more it's going to have to go right for them to be good again next year.
Yeah.
I'm much less confident in that than I was a month ago.
But every single game they play, a bit like St Kilda and your amazing stat about how many points they score each week.
So consistent.
It seems like every game Melbourne play is completely predictable.
Yeah.
They have a crack, they miss some targets, they miss some goals, the other team gets a run on, and then they lose between 45 points, and that's it. They're 17th in the ladder, but they're not getting done by 100 points.
No.
Every other year, the 17th team in the ladder gets done by 100 points or 80 points. That's not them at the moment.
Well, it's a really even season, but it's an even season in that, like, Sydney has won 6 games, but I really like the Swans right now.
Mm.
I think they look, like, really good compared to where they should be and where their win-loss column is. Melbourne, I don't feel like that at all.
I, Yeah, I'm just trying to get a handle on the D's. And you always go to the ex-players to get a bit of an indication, and they're kind of a bit bereft of ideas. But one thing that they've pointed out, and the guys on the couch pointed out last week, is that this beast of the honeypot mentality has not been fixed. So they pointed out at the start of the year that all the inside Melbourne midfielders are just ball hungry and go straight to the contest at stoppages. And then there's no outside run. When they get the ball, and two, to defend on the outside. And that didn't change. They profiled that against Collingwood. It happened against Collingwood when they profiled that last night.
Yeah, it's a product also of not trusting your teammates to get the ball and give it out to.
Okay. So bit of a hero complex.
Well, yeah, that's probably a bit harsh, but it's along those lines.
Yeah.
What I find really interesting about the beast of the honeypot scenario is you've got all these players charging at the ball.
Mm.
And in a good team, you'd have X amount of players charging at the ball and others staying out to get it from teammates. But they're thinking, we're losing or we're not playing well. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to go harder.
Yeah, yeah.
But in footy these days, just going harder doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win. You might have Jack Viney who goes hard.
Yep.
You might have two or three players in a team that just go bullet a gate. But the rest need to be quite balanced and controlled. And that's... I've got to be careful how I say this. I like Jordan Lewis in the team because he is balanced and controlled.
Yep.
I don't know if he's going to play on next year.
Mm.
But I like the way he just sits and waits and controls it. He's not the player he was.
Yeah.
But he's got that balance in his game that many Melbourne players don't have.
Yep.
He has that mentality that you need to have. You know what was a team that really did that well on the weekend was Richmond against Patrick Cripps. There were some really good videos that a fan made on Twitter that I saw. I forget who it was.
Mandigan, I want to say.
Yes. Cripps going for the ball so hard every time, and just the Richmond opponent backing off in the stoppage and being right there to get it as the third man from ruck to clearance.
Yeah, interesting. I was watching a game on Fox Footy. There was a Fremantle versus Port Adelaide game from about 06.
Oh, yes.
And Kane Corns was playing.
Francis? No, okay.
Not Fabian, no. Oh. Yeah. Kane Corns, Daniel Pearce. Not sure who he was playing for, but he was playing.
Playing for the Daniel Pearce Cup.
Kane Corns was playing. And I'd forgotten how much of a good link player Kane Corns was.
He was.
I know we talk about it in the media, and I really liked the way he says what he thinks.
Sure.
But as a player, he was a link player. He was a little leapfrog over the top, get the mark, give the handball off and go again. I don't know how many Melbourne players are like that. And it's what good teams have, don't they? So Dangerfield goes hard, Selwood goes hard, but they've got all these other players at Geelong that just sort of fit in where needed, and they're link players. The D's don't have them, so they need to get a Brad Hill or an Ed Langdon, and then they probably need a couple of them to be able to rejuvenate that that middle third of the ground.
Where do you think Brad Hill will be next year?
I think he'll be at St Kilda next year.
Yeah, they're in the box seat.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you think he's put right for St Kilda?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but if I'm him, I'd probably prefer to go to Melbourne. Yeah. But if St Kilda's offering a better deal, as they would because they have more money than Melbourne, then I think St Kilda's makes perfect sense. And Freo can say they're not going to trade him, but in the end, push comes to shove, as we know. Freo gets Jesse Hogan under contract last year. They lose Lachie Neale under contract.
Yeah.
They might lose Brad Hill under contract. It goes in swings and roundabouts.
Do the Saints also make more sense in terms of what they could give up in a trade? They would have Melbourne's pick is almost too high.
Yeah. Yep. You probably need a third club to get involved regardless with a player. What we're seeing these days with players of Brad Hill's calibre, and we saw it last year with Hogan and Neale and Beams, maybe not so much Beams. I need to remember the exact trades, but the better the player, the more a third club needs to get involved to satisfy the custodians of that player.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff, Thomas. That was a big addition,
as always,
of Fair or Fast. But time now for our special guest, and it's a huge round 22 in the AFL, but not just across the whole landscape, but specifically for Fox Footy. We've got the two big games on our books, the Fox Footy production this week. Saturday afternoon, it's the Lions and the Cats on 5:03. And then Sunday afternoon, it's the Tigers and the Eagles, both games on Fox Sports. And a man who'll be riding the boundary and living the dream in both games will be triple premiership forward Cameron Mooney. Moons, as we welcome you to the Fox Footy podcast, you must be absolutely pumped for what you're about to witness.
Yes, good afternoon, boys. I am pumped because I've probably earned my dues for this one because I've done a lot of Gold Coast games, boys, this year. So it's about time I got some top four games. I'm really excited.
I do feel like you're very popular on the sort of Saturday night 5:03 game on the Gold Coast trip, or maybe to Adelaide.
That's offensive, isn't it?
It's been me all year, Maxie, let's be honest. So the fact that I get to watch the old club go up against arguably the most exciting team in the comp in Brisbane, Geelong are trying to find their mojo, which maybe they got a little bit of it back last week. So that's going to be a cracker. And then Sunday, that's just about a grand final preview, isn't it? So we can't be any happier at Fox Footy, let me tell you.
Before we sort of look ahead to those two games, were you glad that Fox didn't have Friday night's game in Canberra between Hawthorn and the Giants? Right on the boundary would have been an interesting experience.
Wasn't that horrible? Well, if you've seen me at any time when it does rain or anything like that, Benny, I kind of just duck up the raceway. I just tell everyone I'm off comms for about 5 minutes.
Have you got a favourite boundary weather story? You've been riding the boundary for a number of years now, and you would have experienced all kinds of elements. Have you got a favourite boundary riding weather story?
Look, I don't think, in all honesty, I haven't really copped too many really horrible days. There's the odd occasion where you've got to get the blanket over the top of you or whatever it is, but generally they're not too bad. I mean, in Melbourne, they're just cold. We very rarely get the real rainy days, but they're just cold. So they're probably the bad ones. And obviously, if you throw the gloves on, Benny, you open up to a little bit of social media feedback, let me tell you.
Very much so. And Luke Darcy can certainly empathise with that as well. After his
people are still confused which one's which at the moment. So.
Yes, a long-running joke in the Boundary Riders Association. Moons, talk to us about, you mentioned Geelong may have regained its mojo. I suppose... What was your take over the past couple of weeks, or even since the bye, about sort of the Cats' inconsistent form? Have you been able to sort of put your finger on it?
Oh, I don't think there's one thing, Benny. To be honest, I think there's a few things. I know that went on a, and most clubs do, particularly when you're in a two game, space at the top of the ladder. They went on a bit of a hard training phase. So there's no doubt they were coming to games and they were a little bit fatigued, knowing that full well they had obviously two games in the bank, that if they dropped a couple or dropped one, they could afford it because they were in such a strong position, particularly with their percentage. And I just think tinkering with a few things along the way, trying to find out who their ruckman is. So I just think a couple of things, and it probably just threw them off 5%. And I think we've spoken about this earlier in the year. Anytime you're 5% off in this competition, we always say the top teams aren't as good as they used to be and the bottom teams aren't as bad as they used to be. It's a really even competition. I think over that 4 or 5 week period, it just showed how even the competition was, that if they weren't on their full game, they were getting beaten and they weren't playing well. But they came off that. I thought they came off it quite well against Sydney. The second half against Sydney, I thought, here we go, they've got it back. And then having that week over in Perth, I thought wasn't a great thing to do. It was great that the boys got to go away together for a week. But when you do go somewhere for a week and you're staying in a hotel room, you can get into a little bit of holiday mode. You don't mean to. You don't try to. You talk about not being in that mode. But it just happens. And they were embarrassed by Fremantle. So they needed to come back and have a really strong, particularly defensive game, which they obviously did against North Melbourne, allowing one goal. So it was a pretty good effort.
You speak of holiday mode. You're going up to Brisbane, as we know. So that will be nice and sunny for your Moons. But... are the Lions the real deal? You said they were the most exciting team in the comp, or one of the most exciting teams, but are they one of the best teams, or does the fixture slightly lie about their talent and their ability at the moment?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that too, I think, Tommy, but I think this is the big test for them. For the first time in how many years, they've got a sold-out Gabba. They've won 8 in a row. They're coming up against the other top team in the competition. Everybody is now... starting to take notice of the Brisbane Lions. Are they a genuine top two, top four team? Can they go into finals and do some damage? So I think we're going to find out a lot about them this weekend. Can they handle the pressure of being the favourites for a game at home, packed house, everybody's watching against another really good team? So this is where I think we're going to find out a little bit about them, to be honest. But what we have seen, they are young, but they're exciting. And they remind me of... what Geelong were back in 2004, where we went on this great run and we played finals. It's exciting, but we weren't ready to take that next step to a grand final and onto a premiership. So maybe they're that, but we're going to have to wait and see. But I'm excited to just watch them. They are exciting to watch.
So who's the equivalent of you in this Brisbane team? Cameron Mooney, 04, Brisbane Lions, 2019. What's the equivalent?
Oh, geez, who's the bloke out there whacking people?
Mitch Robinson?
Eric Hipwood.
I didn't have the ability of Eric Hipwood, let me tell you. Never had that athleticism. But I was actually playing ruck back at that stage. So I'm not sure who they've got there at the moment. The big O is going forward. Yeah. I'm definitely not the big O.
And then the other game you've got, Moons, you said West Coast Richmond's a bit of a grand final preview. Would you say it's pretty fair to say that the winner of that game is the favourite to win it all?
Yeah, I guess. Look, Richmond right now, their run home and what they've got in front of them playing at the G. But in saying that, they've got two really massive fixtures to go into the finals. And I think this is where we're going to find out, are Richmond really playing as good a football as we thought they are or where we think they are? Obviously coming up against West Coast. Now I think they've got Brisbane the week after that. So there's some really big games for them to finish the year off just to see where they are. But Tommy Lynch, everybody said at the start of the year, God, he wasn't as good as they all thought, but he was just going to take time, one, to learn their system, and two, to obviously get match fit and all that type of thing. I think over the last month or so, we've started to see that. Jack's back in, takes a lot of pressure off. He's still not quite match fit, so that's a scary thing for everybody else. Dusty will be back in, we're assuming. And West Coast, West Coast now at the MCG aren't the team that we will go, they're playing at the G, they can't play there anymore. Well, they've just won a premiership. So massive game, but you're right. Whoever wins this one, you'd more likely think, they're the premiership favourites.
Moons, you just talked beforehand when you were analysing Geelong about their ruck situation, and it just seems, when you look at the team overall, it just seems the most unstable part of the team at the moment. Are you convinced about what is the right setup? And, Tommy reported a couple of weeks ago that Ryan Abbott potentially might be used in a potential deal with St Kilda if they want to get Jack Stephen back. And Darcy Fort hasn't been able to get in there consistently. Zach Smith and Stanley have sort of traded the number one ruck positions. How are you seeing the whole ruck situation, and does there need to be a list change at the end of the year?
Look, the ruck hasn't really worked for them since Brad Otten's retired. And that was a long time ago, so that's how long we're talking. Look, Blitzarves in the ruck around the ground will give you a hell of a lot more than what Stanley and Smith will. I'm still concerned, though, Benny, about what happens when you come up against a genuine ruckman, a tap ruckman. And we saw it in the final series down here, because I'm down in Geelong, down in 2013 when they played Fremantle.
Yep.
And they didn't have a genuine ruckman. And Sandilands was just putting it wherever he wanted, and Fremantle embarrassed Geelong down here. I'm a little bit concerned come finals time that Blitzarves isn't the tap ruckman that they need. Around the ground, yes. But if they are going to play him there, I am happy with Henderson back. But if someone like Lynch or Kennedy or Darling get off the chain very early and you've got to put Blitzarves back, then who plays that ruck role? So I'm a little bit concerned that it might bite them if they keep going with Blitzarves in the ruck, just if they do come up against the genuine big blokes in the centre. And if you're losing it out of the centre, you're on the back foot straight away. And I think that is still the biggest concern for Geelong, is what they do with their rucks.
Yeah, well, it'll be an interesting space to watch, no doubt about that, over the coming weeks. Moons, really appreciate your time. You've got Alistair Lynch as in the special comments box, so just make sure you keep a leash on him so he doesn't get too excited about the lines there.
Imagine the banter that's going to be flying back and forth across the boxes and in the boundary line. It's going to be great. But look, can't wait for it. It's going to be a huge game, Saturday, Sunday. Really looking forward to it, boys.
Good on you, Moons. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Take care, guys.
Thanks very much to Triple Premiership forward Cameron Mooney, who will be living the dream and no doubt be donning some very nice woolen jackets as he has been right throughout the season.
For what it's worth, I believe the Richmond West Coast game is delayed on free TV into Perth.
Right.
So the only place to see it live would be Fox Footy
on
KO.
Fox Footy. Make sure you check that one out. As we always do at this time of the Fox Footy podcast, for Max's mailbag.
Yes.
Nice.
Now, we've got some big questions coming in from the punters, but yes. I think there's
Have we got one here from dual premiership kangaroo David?
This is David from North Melbourne.
What would you take out of the coach of Essendon having dinner last night with the CEO of Essendon?
I would take that Essendon saying it's a monthly meeting, as per usual, is not overly convenient for the club's narrative. What would you take, David King? Because that's John Ralph's story in the Herald Sun as we speak.
Right.
He's very good, John, isn't he? Very good. I would have thought it would have been these 2 weeks are important.
Yeah. Right.
Full stop. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your steak. Don't order dessert.
They're not talking about the oysters they're having. No. They're talking about the next 2 weeks being crucial for Worsfold's tenure and also Essendon Football Club. They can't lose their last four to miss finals, Kingy. They can't afford to do that.
They would miss finals if they lose them both, I reckon.
Well, they're a chance this week, though, against Freo. You'd have to give them a chance. It's going to be a win against the odds, either way.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't you wouldn't like to be in John's position now. Maybe a month ago you did, but not right now. But their injuries, I know people are saying the effort levels are down, but it doesn't take much to lose confidence as a group. Confidence in the guy next to you, confidence that you can actually do what you've always done. Heppel can't do what he's always done. Fantasia can't do what he's always done. So there you've got two positions that are batting at 60%. And it has a flow-on effect. I know we're smashing him at the moment, and rightly so, and Essendon fans are disappointed in that, but if you're going to walk from John Worsfold, you want to have a good option after him, because that is a tough place, in my opinion, to coach. A lot of feedback at Essendon.
is the option, though, the guy that they've just brought in last week, Blake Carosella, who has stated in the past that he hasn't got a huge desire to be a senior coach, but he's so highly rated in the inner AFL club circles?
Well, you hear a lot. Rutten, for me, would be first choice.
Okay.
Or not for me. Rutten is considered first choice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder if you want to go there knowing that the new guy would start the role as you're walking in.
Mm.
Does that suit Carosella or not?
Not really.
Wouldn't have thought so. Everywhere he's gone, though, he's had success, though, in the past.
He would probably like John to hang around for another 12 months and then be in the fight.
Yeah, get really secure
to get
spot.
The next job, yep. But anyway, good luck, boys.
Great.
You know what that reminds me of? Aristos the Surprise Chef. Here he is.
Right. That was good. How about dual premiership kangaroo, David King just crashing the Fox Footy podcast and coming up with some interesting thoughts on the Bombers?
Is that the first time we've had two North Melbourne premiership players on the same podcast?
It might be, yes. Yeah.
I mean, none of us are, so I would suggest so.
Probably would be.
Not yet.
Thanks, Kingy.
All right, mailbag.
So that was David from North Melbourne.
Yes.
We also have some questions. Speaking of Kingy.
Yes.
Michael Rossiter asks, do you think Kingy is a fair chance to win top media enough?
Top media enough?
Oh, I saw this. So this is a very important tournament that's going on right now. For the top media Nuff, I believe it's the Nuffies on AFL pages.
Oh, okay, page, yes, right.
And Tom Morris, an entrant in the top media Nuff. Well,
an entrant makes it seem like I submitted a piece of paper to say I want to be in. I was told I'm part of the media Nuffies
25
draw.
25 words or less, explain why you're a leech.
We only need to just find a tweet.
Exactly. So you were eliminated in the first round against Robbo, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was a wild card. I was never going to beat Robbo in the first round.
Too young, it's
is
hard.
Is being a Nuffie a compliment? Or an insult?
No, I think it's an insult.
Really?
I mean, you're
in it. Being called a footy Nuffy. Oh. I think, I think 99% of the listeners out there who are listening to this podcast are footy Nuffies.
I think there's a difference, though, between being footy obsessed and maybe footy unintelligent.
Yeah, but there's Nuffy. Nuffy, what does it mean?
Well, because it's used to describe the Facebook page, which is like, people being silly about their own clubs and having unrealistic ideas. In this context, the final eight, we won't pass any judgment, obviously, because people from other media organisations.
I'll tell you exactly who's going to win each game.
Damien Barrett against Eddie Maguire.
Barrett wins that.
David King against Mark Robinson.
Robbo wins that.
So Robbo v. Barrett in the semi-final.
Wow. Robbo v. Barrett semi's huge. Yeah. I would pay to watch that.
What?
I know.
What are they doing?
Just watch the vote. What's the other games?
So that's one semi-final. The other
half the draw.
Quarter-final, Tom Brown v. Kane Corns.
No, Tom Brown.
Yep.
Interesting. Basil Zemplis v. Sam McClure. Very different types of personalities.
Probably Sam.
Okay. So Tom
V. Sam. Again, I don't think being a Nuffy is a negative thing. I'm just thinking of who fits the term best. Mm. One side of the draw is clearly stronger than the other half of the draw.
You think the Barrett-Robbo winner wins it?
That should be the final. That's like Nadal versus Federer circa 2009 US Open.
Like, it's like when you have a big three and two and three are on one side of the draw.
Yeah,
and
it's unfortunate.
Getting, you know, it's just how
is there prize money?
Probably not, I would suggest. It's a Facebook page.
Yeah. There's an interesting little analysis there of AFL Nuffies on Facebook.
Yeah, what was the question?
Rundown.
Is Kingy a chance to win?
Is it outside chance? He's like your Kaini Shikori type.
Consistent eighth seed, semi-finalist.
Yeah. US Open runner-up to Marion Cilic in 2014.
So that's perfect.
Yeah,
excellent. Any more from the mailbag, Maxi, that you found?
Yes, we have some very important questions. Luke FB asks, Walsh seems to be the crowd favourite to win Rising Star, but where would Bailey Smith finish? Ooh. Played every game this year with at least one BOG. He's a perfect fit at the Dogs.
Bailey Smith, top five, but no higher than third.
I've done a top five, Tom.
Oh, yep.
Starting from 1, 2, 5, as in like five is the top most amount of votes. Cam Zerha, I think, deserves a vote.
Yes.
His goal kicking has been awesome. I've got Bailey Smith, 2 votes. Connor Rosie, 3. Sydney Stack, 4. Sam Walsh, 5. Apologies I really wanted to put Xavier Dersma in here. I think his season's been really underrated, the bow and arrow.
Yes.
Oscar Allen is coming with a late charge. His ability to fill all different kinds of roles in a premiership favourite side has been awesome and has been understated. And Mitchell Lewis probably hasn't played enough games to get a vote, but he's averaging more goals per game than any other rising star, eligible rising star nominee this year.
Yeah, I agree. They're all making up the numbers. Sam Walsh is the best.
But I think this is the deepest rising star field to vote from.
So yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah.
When we get to sort of the 2 and 1 votes, it's very
stretching,
mixed.
Yeah.
It's stretching a little bit, but we have genuinely got 8-9 guys who could get votes this year.
It's a seriously good draft. Yeah, I know it's been said a lot before, but this year's proving it's an unbelievably good draft.
One last question from Scotland 2007.
Heath?
Was he born in 2007?
I don't know. He was certainly playing for Carlton in 2007.
Probably not then.
Right.
Onions on budding snags or nah?
Now, I'm not an onion man on anything. Neither I don't care if you offer me a pie or a snag or a sausage roll. I don't like onions on anything. What I do like is budding snags with a little bit of tomato sauce, just one line, and then some grated cheese on top of that.
Oh, wow.
I think that's a good double. Ideally multi-grain, but I don't expect multi-grain at Bunnings. And $2, no more than $2
for my
snag.
The Glen Iris kind of Bunnings operation.
Yeah, the one near Chadston, Bunnings. Okay. Yeah.
What I really enjoyed on Election Day this year.
Oh, yeah, Election Day.
Probably the thing I most,
who'd you vote for, Max?
Probably the thing I most enjoyed on the day was the sausage at the polling place because it was from like a luxury butcher.
Really?
The benefits of being in Pran.
I should have voted in Pran.
Clearly.
Great edition of the mailbag, as always, covering the big hitting topics.
Safe seat.
Round 22.
Well, three-corner contest.
Round 22, tips and cups. We start with Melbourne and Sydney, the blockbuster Friday night. And this is for the Jamie Dersma Cup. So Jamie was Xavier's uncle, but he also played for Melbourne and Sydney.
Is this sort of, it's not quite Carlton St Kilda last year, but it's close.
That's right, yes.
That was the mockbuster. This is not quite that mockbuster.
But if you fixed your Melbourne-Sydney in October last year, you think this should be a decent game.
Oh, you get it. You'd think they're both in the finals mix.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame the AFL. Yeah. I just like the floating fixture. Is this going to be the last time that Nathan Jones plays against Zach Jones?
Right. Zach Jones being linked with both St Kilda and Melbourne?
Yeah, and what's going to happen with Nathan Jones next year? They're both out of contract.
Right. So theoretically, somewhere.
So theoretically, either to not play again, one of them would have to be out of the AFL or they have to be at the same club.
Correct. I mean, I think they probably will play each other again, but there's a few balls up in the air for both.
There seems to be this sense that they want to play with each other before Nathan retires.
Which probably has to be the next... I mean, it depends. If Nathan Jones... Yeah, next year or two. Yeah.
Do you think there'll be a suitor that might take both of them on?
Well, they're different players, so I can't see why not. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I could say it.
Who wins?
Sydney's percentage is 91.6. Melbourne's is 79.7.
Is Buddy playing?
No, he will not.
No,
play.
I'm going for Melbourne then.
I'm going for Sydney. I really like Sydney.
How many tips am I ahead of you at the moment?
One. I caught up one by... what was the mistake that you made on the weekend?
I tipped...
Melbourne, I believe.
Yeah, my sphincter's tightening.
He's going to do it again.
Am I allowed to say that?
He's going to tip Melbourne again and cost himself the flag.
Let that one pass through. Speaking of Carlton St Kilda, they play each other on Saturday. Oh. This is for the Sam Cranich Cup.
This is a really interesting game.
I don't know who Sam Cranich is.
Played less than 20 games, Sam.
Could be the Hugh Goddard Cup.
I think he'll probably play.
Liam Jones out with a throat injury.
Is that the matches at the MCG a big factor? St Kilda probably better at Marvel?
St Kilda were good against Melbourne earlier in the year at the MCG. I'm going for St Kilda just because I think they just got something about them at the moment.
Has Brett Ratton essentially
perfect,
got nine fingers, eight fingers and one thumb on the job?
No, he's not quite what Reece Shaw was at North Melbourne.
Which
Robert Harvey will get it.
Hmm? Which one's missing off the cup? Like a pinky? Or?
A pinky at the moment.
Okay, one of them. Yeah. Thank you.
Robert Harvey will get an interview. I think Brad Scott will probably get an interview if he wants it. I'm still going for St Kilda.
I might tip Carlton, but I'm going to have to do some more research to be sure.
Excellent. Brisbane and Geelong, as we mentioned, this is on Channel 503 on Saturday afternoon for the Trent West Cup. 2011
Brisbane
player.
Brisbane are just more consistent at the moment than Geelong.
I'm realising now, so Richard Hinman tweeted directly at me for the pod, is this the hardest round to tip for the year / ever? I'm looking at it now. Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is. Holy moly.
Very hard.
It's going to separate us, Max.
It could separate a lot of tipsers across tipping competitions.
Good time for it. I still like Brisbane at home. I'm a pessimistic Cats fan.
Yep.
Hard to tip them in this sort of game.
Yep. Adelaide and Collingwood. This is a massive game for the Crows, for the Brett James Cup on the Saturday twilight.
How much of the Crows game against West Coast, they got within 10 points in the end.
Yep.
How much was that them kicking accurately and West Coast wasting chances, and how much was them actually being back?
No, I actually think that this was a dominant West Coast performance that didn't show on the scoreboard. Plus 22 inside 50s. Yep. I haven't seen the Crows defence hold up like that probably since 2017, because they weren't a high inside 50 team in 2017, but were the biggest scoring team.
Yep.
I think it was a slight false dawn, but darn, they were impressive. And I think Darcy Fogarty's game played a big role in that. But the Crouch brothers had a mountain of the footy. But not enough, not enough to convince me that they deserve to be in the finals.
I think they beat Collingwood, though. I think Collingwood was even less impressive, even though they won.
I don't mind that. So this is almost, Tom, this is almost rebound effect worthy.
Rebound guideline.
Yes.
But except, well.
So I'm going Adelaide.
Adelaide.
Because I think Collingwood was unconvincing and Adelaide were plucky in their loss to West Coast.
Yeah.
I think this is almost a perfect rebound effect game.
I'm going Adelaide then.
All right, there we go.
Fair enough. The next game is on Saturday night. It is North Melbourne and Port Adelaide. Huge game. It is, of course, for the Stuart Cochran Cup.
No, I'm going for Port because I liked Port against Essendon at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, but North are better than Essendon.
I know.
North are better than Essendon.
Are they?
They narrowly lost that game and Essendon's had some injuries since.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know North.
I should know who to tip.
Kicking one goal from a free kick on.
I understand
ben,
that.
Going through those games one by one is broadly almost pointless right now. I can't tip these games at the moment.
It's gut reaction.
Gut reaction Port.
Yeah, Jake. Gut reaction Port.
Fremantle and Essendon for the time-honoured Kepler-Bradley Cup.
Oh, yes. Freo for me. Adam McPhee as well.
Adam McPhee, Mark Johnson, Dean Solomon.
Freo because it's at home.
Yep. Richmond and Brisbane. This is for the Rory Hilton Cup.
West Coast, you mean?
Richmond and...
Imagine the Lions playing twice in 2 days.
That'd be tough for them.
They wouldn't be favourites, yeah.
No.
Richmond, West Coast. I'm going Richmond at the MCG.
I think I am too, but if West Coast wins this game, oof, they will have the greatest interstater streak at the MCG ever.
Ever?
Ever. With I think, 6 wins in a row there.
Yeah, what hoodoo. Yeah.
Six or seven is the
I'm going to Richmond, but I'm not confident with it.
No. Okay. The Giants and the Bulldogs, a huge game for both of these clubs. Dogs need to win. This is for the Dylan Addison Cup.
Of course it is.
I think Giants will bounce back and they'll win.
And that ends the Western Bulldogs finals hopes, doesn't it?
Yes, pretty much. If some results go their way, I mean, they're still only percentage out, but yeah, it will be tough.
How handy was that sort of 4% boost that they got against the Dons?
A little bit, but they're probably still not going to catch Port or Adelaide, which are the two teams they need to catch. They're ahead of Essendon, at least.
The Dogs are coming with a huge run, but they could miss the finals.
Yeah.
Like, they could, to some, they're the 5th, 6th best team in the competition, though, and they could miss the finals.
Yeah. This
what a
is
waste
what
of a season that would be.
When you lose to Carlton, Gold Coast, the bad Carlton,
yes,
and St Kilda, you don't deserve to play finals at that point, don't you?
That's right. St Kilda, Carlton, Gold Coast, Fremantle, they also lost to. North Melbourne, they also lost to.
Yeah, just you can't have those bad losses and deserve to make the 8.
And then the Raffy Farewell game, also known as the Mitch Hallahan Cup for between Hawthorn and the Gold Coast Suns.
I mean, is this the only easy tip of the weekend?
Yes. I'm going Hawthorn.
I'm going to be tipping the Hawthorn Hawks.
Excellent. Yeah. Will Ruffy wear long sleeves, though?
No. Nope. Indoors.
Well, yeah,
indoors.
Roof will be up.
Excellent.
So,
he can do whatever he wants.
A very wide-ranging, in-depth
two guests.
Footy podcast. Two guests.
Fair or Fast, Mailbag.
Snag Chat.
Yeah, it was good.
Excellent. And you can always catch it on iTunes and on Wooshka as well, wherever you get your podcast. Give us a like, a subscribe, and a...
Get a carrier pigeon to deliver a USB with the file on it for you, I'm sure.
Probably pushing it a little bit, but make sure you always keep clicking back, nonetheless, to foxfooty.com.au.